are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, have you ever felt your heart race before an important event or found yourself struggling to breathe when stress takes over? Anxiety doesn't just live in the mind, right? It can also manifest throughout the entire body, sometimes in ways that we don't even recognize. From stomach aches to chronic fatigue, physical symptoms can make anxiety even harder to manage. And understanding these signs is the first step in learning how to address them. But why is it that anxiety affects the body so intensely? And what can be done to ease these physical burdens? Pearline Coughlin from the Vista Clinic joins us once again to speak about the physical symptoms of anxiety. Pearline, good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Bongi, and all the listeners. Thank you so much for the intro.
Thank you so much for joining us once again for the subject. What are some of the most common physical symptoms of anxiety?
So, Bongi, some of the most common physical symptoms that people may experience is what we call increased heart rate or rapid heartbeat, where someone feels that they have palpitations and it's like your heart is pounding or racing. Mm-hmm. There may be elevated blood pressure. Sometimes people experience muscle tension. So people may complain of sore muscles or stiff muscles in the neck, shoulders, or even the jaw. And a very common one is sweating, where mm-hmm. someone says that their palms are sweating or other parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And this may happen even if temperatures are very cool.
Yeah.
There's also shaking or trembling of the hands, the legs, the voice, or sometimes just the entire body. People may complain of stomach issues like feeling nauseous, bloating, or indigestion. And this is usually accompanied by a chest tightness or pain, mm-hmm. where the person may feel discomfort or pressure in the chest. Some people may tell you that they experience tingling or numbness in the face and the hands and the feet. And a dry mouth is often one that many people also experience, where there is either the lack of saliva or no saliva, which makes it very difficult to swallow or even to speak sometimes, Bongi. Mm. And then generally, fatigue and weakness may also be felt, where someone just feels exhausted even after resting or even after a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Those are some of the common physical symptoms that people may experience with anxiety.
Sure. So looking back on our last conversation about the subject, do these symptoms show up even in the absence of any imminent danger or anything to be worried about?
So you'll hear me speak a little bit later about a trigger, okay. And there will always be a trigger. So when there's a trigger, mm-hmm. someone may experience these symptoms, and oftentimes people become aware of it. It may first come across as very mild, mm-hmm. and when the intensity of anxiety increases, when the experience increases, mm. then the symptoms also increases. So then someone becomes more aware of the fact that I'm actually having an anxiety attack,
right.
or a panic attack, as we know it as well. So there will always be a trigger. Someone may experience it mildly, but other times it may be a bit more intense. It becomes more intense over time.
Wow. It's so incredible how the mind and the body, how issues happening in the mind affect the body as well. Very interesting. Now, how can chronic anxiety contribute to long-term health problems?
So there's quite a few contributors, which I'm going to mention. The first one is cardiovascular issues. So chronic anxiety can contribute to cardiovascular issues, like the body experiences stress, so your heart rate increases as well as your blood pressure, and eventually this may lead to hypertension, heart disease, and it can also increase the risk of stroke for some people.
Yeah.
Another one is that it can weaken our immune system. So chronic stress from anxiety increases cortisol. Now, cortisol is a stress hormone, mm-hmm. and this stress hormone weakens the immune system. So when that happens, our bodies become more vulnerable to infections and inflammation and also some autoimmune diseases.
Mm.
Oftentimes, someone may struggle with digestive problems, where someone has irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Acid reflux is also common, ulcers, and also appetite changes. Also, with chronic anxiety, it can affect respiratory issues. So anxiety can cause shortness of breath, and hyperventilation. And sometimes it can also exacerbate symptoms of asthma, for example, if someone should be living with asthma. Mm-hmm. It also impacts our neurological and our cognitive functioning. So we find that many people who struggle with chronic anxiety, it increases the risk of memory problems, the experience of brain fog for many people, mm-hmm. and there may generally just be a cognitive decline. We find that people sometimes struggle to solve problems or even just to think logical about problems, things that for many other people may seem very logical. For other people, it may just seem that it's very difficult to think logically about how things work out.
Yeah.
Other things are hormonal imbalances, weight gain, and also diabetes. And if you think about it, Bongi, if you have constant muscle tension, then there's also the experience of chronic pain. So someone may say to you, my joints are pain, or my back, or they complain of constant headaches and migraines. And unfortunately, with chronic anxiety, it also increases the risk of depression, burnout, and also substance abuse as people try to cope with what is going on in their bodies. Mm-hmm. We find that chemicals sometimes have a very calming effect, and it could lead to substance abuse of different sorts.
Sure. Yeah. Now, why do anxiety and gut issues often go hand in hand? I've noticed that as well. Why do those two go hand in hand?
Yes, it's almost like, you know, when you have to write an exam, you experience bats.
Yeah.
But when you are in love, then you experience butterflies. And so our emotions are very closely connected to our gut. And this happens through what we call the vagus nerve, which allows emotions to influence our digestion. And so when a person is anxious, the brain sends distress signals to the gut. And this affects someone's what we call motility, in other words, the ability to move independently. It affects the digestion and also can cause inflammation.
Wow.
So anxiety triggers the release of what we call cortisol, as I mentioned before, and adrenaline. And when this happens, it shifts the body into fight or flight mode. And when this happens, this slows digestion and it also reduces blood flow to the intestines. And that's why someone can feel nauseous, they feel bloating, and they may even experience cramping. When we think about why anxiety goes hand in hand with gut issues. Sometimes also people struggle with anxiety. They generally have what we call a hypersensitive gut. Mm-hmm. So for them, normal digestion sensations may feel more intense or even painful. And if you think about it, when people try to deal with anxiety, people may tend to overeat, or they undereat, or they consume trigger foods like caffeine, alcohol, or high-fat meals, which also worsens gastrointestinal symptoms generally. And then we find that irritable bowel syndrome, that is often one that also goes with anxiety. It increases our anxiety eventually as well.
Sure. So we're just feeding the
problem. So very closely related. Yes.
Can physical exercise help to alleviate any of these symptoms?
Absolutely, yes. Physical exercise, Bongi, is probably one of the most effective and natural ways to alleviate anxiety symptoms. It does does a few things. It does a few things, actually. It lowers our stress hormones, so it reduces cortisol and adrenaline, and it encourages relaxation. So it helps the body to return to a more calmer state. Mm-hmm. It also boosts mood-enhancing chemicals. You know, so when you are physically active, it increases our happy hormones. Mm-hmm. And when we have more happy hormones, it also helps to lift the mood. It also helps to improve sleep. So if we exercise, it helps us to improve sleep. Why? Because we rid our bodies of all the energy and usually all the negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel good about ourselves. So it increases our self-confidence. And it's just like us with anxiety. So it also promotes relaxation in the end. So yes, physical exercise definitely is a very good one to help with anxiety symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And what other things can we employ? What other tools can we employ to ease the physical burdens and the symptoms of anxiety?
So usually with the physical, it's important to focus on the body, what happens in the body. So if you remember from what we discussed last time in terms of breathing exercises, mm-hmm. breathing exercises which promotes deep relaxation, mm-hmm. that could be one. And then also progressive muscle exercises. There's a very good one we speak about soon as well, called the Jacobson method of relaxation, where you almost tense the entire body and then relax the body again. Uh-huh. So usually because of hyperventilation, we suggest breathing exercises at first. This helps very much to calm the body down so that you can start thinking logically of what step to take next to alleviate the symptoms of anxiety.
Right. Right. All right. And then how can one differentiate between an anxiety attack and a medical emergency? Is there a difference between the two?
Yes, Bongi, there is a difference. However, differentiating between an anxiety attack and a medical emergency, such as a heart attack, it can be a very challenging one. And the reason for this is that they share symptoms like chest pain, yes. shortness of breath, and also dizziness. So with an anxiety attack, you find that there is always a trigger. There's like a stress trigger. Mm-hmm. There's fear or there's a specific situation that leads to an anxiety attack. So this can build up over time.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort. Usually find there's a rapid or shallow breathing, also known as hyperventilation. The heart rate is fast, but it's steady. Right. So it may feel like palpitations that I mentioned earlier, where your heart is racing or pounding. There may be sweating, trembling, nausea, dizziness, tingling in the hands and the feet as well. And the duration of the anxiety attack is usually within 10 to 30 minutes before it reaches its peak. Mm-hmm. And then it subsides. And this is very different from a heart attack. So with a medical emergency like a heart attack, there's no clear trigger. So the person may be in rest, or they may be physically active and experience a medical emergency. There may be severe chest pain, and there is pain radiation. So it can spread to the arms, the jaw, the neck, or the back.
Mm-hmm.
And with a heart attack or within a medical emergency, there may be shortness of breath without hyperventilation. And this means that your heart rate slows down,
okay.
or it may be irregular. But the person may also experience cold sweats, nausea, vomiting, confusion, or they may even experience loss of consciousness.
Sure.
And the one big difference with the two is that the duration is persistent, or it becomes worse and it doesn't resolve very quickly. And this is the difference with an anxiety attack. So generally, if someone experiences chest pain, difficulty breathing, fainting, or even pain that spreads to the different parts of the body, mm-hmm. it's important to seek medical attention as soon as possible.
Wow.
In fact, it's better to seek medical attention if you're unsure, just to rule out any life-threatening conditions.
Yes.
It is better to be cautious, actually, yes, in this instance.
Sure. And why does anxiety even affect the body so intensely?
It's like I shared with you earlier, because the gut and the brain, the gut, and all our body organs are actually connected.
Yeah.
So if the brain sends a signal that the body is in distress, the body will go into reaction. Mm-hmm. And this is the body's way of protecting us. So oftentimes, you know, when we experience adrenaline, if you think about it, if we go and write exam, when they experience a bit of distress or bats, like I shared with you earlier, in our tummies, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that we're not going to write the exam. We actually do.
Yeah.
But for many people who struggle with anxiety, it actually becomes debilitating to the point where they cannot write the exam because it's now into their bodies.
Mm.
And this is the important thing to remember about anxiety. It happens within the body, and this is the one that makes it dysfunctional, or the person is not able to function normally in daily functions, and that can make it a very daunting experience of life in general.
Wow. Sure. That's incredible. Thank you so much, Pauline, for coming through for yet another enlightening and educational conversation. Appreciate your time and look forward to our next chat.
Awesome, Bongi. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.